Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is March 25th, 2024. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Weed Witch's Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Thoughts mixed with definiteness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire are powerful things." Napoleon Hill, 1883. So, we are talking this week about daffodils. So, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of daffodils. And yes, I just think it's super cute. Actually, no, we're not talking about history today. We're going to talk about some folklore. So, this is from learnreligions.com. And in some folklore, daffodils are considered lucky flowers. In particular, there's a tradition that if you made the deliberate effort to not step on them and crush them, fortune will favor you with abundance. If you give someone a gift of daffodils, they'll have good luck, but make sure you give an entire bunch because a single flower will draw ill fortune. In parts of the British Isles, including Wales, if you're the one in your neighborhood who spots the first daffodil of spring, it means you'll see far more gold than silver come into your home over the next coming year. So daffodils are also known as the Narcissus, after the legendary young Greek man of the same name. Narcissus was pretty full of himself because he had been given the gift of great beauty by the gods. One day, a sweet young wood nymph named Echo spotted Narcissus hanging out by a stream and instantly fell in love with him. However, he was so busy being completely self-absorbed that he ignored Echo, and she wasted away from loneliness until nothing was left of her but her voice. Thanks to this tragic story of unrequited love, daffodils are sometimes used to represent a love that is one-sided. That is so sad. It's really interesting. I do past life readings sometimes, and I really love doing it. There's nothing like more inspiring than to like unfold an entire life. But something I've learned over years of doing past life readings is I've done readings where people are murdered, where people die in childbirth, where people are killed by a loved one or a family member, or like all these things. I've read past lives with horrible endings or drownings. Nothing scars a soul more than unrequited love. It blows my mind. I'll do these readings and it'll be like, yeah, you were murdered, but like that girl didn't love you back. And like, that's the thing your soul hung on to. And it's so fascinating to me. And so that comes up a lot. The soul really, really struggles to let go of unrequited love. So if you had a life where there was unrequited love or anything of that nature, it probably took your soul a really long time and multiple lifetimes to heal from it. And that is the number one thing I've learned from doing past life readings. And I never would have guessed. Never would have guessed. It's wild to me, but it's so interesting. All right, so moving into some headlines, this comes to us from cbc.ca. So a ghost walks into a bar. How a Winnipeg comedian developed a passion for the paranormal. And this is all about a short film. So Winnipeg comedian Big Daddy Taz has a secret life that doesn't include cracking wise and goofing around for audiences. In that secret life, his audiences are ghosts and spirits. Taz, known for his work as a stand-up comedian across the country, is also passionate about paranormal investigating and ghost hunting, who works with Winnipeg Paranormal Group. His two passions, comedy and paranormal investigations, are compatible, he says. Quote, "I love to be challenged, and I want to know more about the universe. It drives me, and I love making people laugh," said Taz. When you're laughing, you can't be sad, you can't be angry, and you can't be alone. Taz reveals the childhood haunting that sparked his paranormal passion in a new documentary. The film was produced by Van Young and Tristan Legospi and Ethan Langett, who are all post-high school students in the CREATE program at Sisler High School in Winnipeg. The post-high program trains students in the creative digital arts, including filmmaking. Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh, how cool would it be to be a senior in high school and like literally film a legit documentary? That'd be so cool. Yeah, that's really awesome. And I love that it's going to be paranormal. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, March 25th. The full moon finds itself in the first of the two eclipses of this eclipse season in lilting Libra today. This eclipse is penumbral in nature, only taking on the shadow of the Earth rather than the red light of the bended sun's rays. So, it's not nearly as powerful as the full solar eclipse coming up next Monday. But eclipses always make a rather heavy impact, so we are going to want to make sure that we're ready for what it's bringing. This eclipse is the final one that will be fully on the Aries-Libra axis. For the last year or so, we've been working through the themes of what is mine and what is ours. Who am I alone, and who am I when I am paired? There are moments when it is of utmost importance that we consider our own needs and make sure that we're putting on our own oxygen masks ahead of others. And there are times when other folks need what we have much more urgently than we do. We don't always know the difference. So these eclipses and this eclipse season are all about drawing that line for yourself. Are you sacrificing too much in the name of lifting others up? Or have you shirked all others to the point of being on an island alone? Examine where you are and how you ended up there, and then allow this eclipse to bring to light what you need to do to make this a healthier compromise of you and others. Your daily moon mantra is, don't give so much to others that you lose yourself, but don't give so much to yourself that you lose sight of all others. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Interested in taking your weed witchery to the next level or wanting to get started? The Weed Witch's Journal by author Carrie Connor blends the worlds of cannabis and magic together to help you document, explore, and expand your daily practices. Dig deeper into yourself with intuitive insights, mystical visions, shadow work, or connect to nature for starters. Want to explore your creativity? Dive in with My Vibe, Inspirational Ink, and the Flower Power activities. Looking to practice your skills? Get attuned with pendulum work and one card reading. Plus, document your practices with full moon, new moon, spell tracker, ritual tracker, and more. Order the Weed Witch's Journal now from your favorite bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, so we are back. So this is from our listener, Stephanie, over on Facebook. Stephanie writes, "Hey there, Witch Daily Show friends. So we've lived in our house for 15 years and just had major housework done. Ripped out carpet, refinished original hardwoods, and really changed the energy of our home. It feels much more open, airy, and alive. I'd love to build an altar in honor of our house. Any suggestions on house altar placement? Any ideas for items or altars honoring houses? My current plan is to paint a portrait of our house and gather nature items from the yard, like dirt, leaves, rock, etc., for a hanging altar. But I love other idea suggestions." Stephanie, I love this. This is such a great idea. I think my first instinct would be, is there any place in your home where the altar can kind of just be permanent? So is there like a built-in nook or one of those like carved out little spaces that like phones used to be in, or built-in shelf, something like that where it feels like it's going to be more of a fixture of the home and less of like visiting decor, if that makes sense. And I would definitely include maybe some of the aspects if you still had it that you removed. So maybe like a little cutout of that carpet that was there. Maybe that could be in a little sachet and you can add something to it like rosemary or orange oil, kind of as this refreshing of spirit idea. I love the idea of having your house like painted and having that be at the altar. A picture is a good idea. I would leave offerings for the house spirits. So house spirits tend to really like things like rum, coffee, things like that. Those things, those vicey sort of liquids really help draw out that energy. And that's something I would maybe give to the earth, but it wouldn't hurt to have a little bit on the altar. And I definitely feel like your altar will kind of grow as you get to know the house and the spirits there. Are there any old keys attached to the home? Old knobs, fixtures, hinges, anything like that that maybe you have removed or changed, maybe adding that to the altar. It's definitely all about kind of respecting the spirits of the house. I actually am doing a series on TikTok right now that's all about how to nurture and honor the spirits of your house. And if anyone wants to add me on TikTok, it is at Which Way Magazine. And you can do things such as, I mean, it sounds like you're already doing a lot, like you're taking care of the home, you're fixing it up, you're renovating it. That's a huge part of it. Keeping the home clean is a big part of it. I feel like that lets the spirits feel respected. You could do things such as offerings, which you're doing. But also, if you bring something into the house, like a bouquet, maybe have one of the little flowers be set on the altar. Like, this isn't just for us, but it's for you too, you know? And I think it's less about doing an altar kind of once and doing it well. And it's more about constantly keeping the house spirit in mind as you live amongst it, right? So always giving it a little nurture and care and taking care of the home and keeping it up. And I think that gives a lot of respect to the house spirit. So yeah, that's my idea. I would start off very, very simple, again, with like a little odds and ends here or there, like a little piece of carpet here, a hinge there. But then it grows, you know, maybe a little cup of rum. But then it grows. Okay. So as you exist in that space, you add to the altar with it. And I think that is a really beautiful and lovely idea, Stephanie. But let's see what other people had to say. Tara said, if you have a fireplace, you could use the mantle. I can't remember where I read it or if it's even true, but I think people used to bless the hearth of a newly built home or whatever room is central in your lives, like the kitchen. Lilith says, we have quote-unquote little people in my family, Irish Fae, type entities, but a century plus before they grew wings to gain Christian acceptance, basically house spirits that travel with the family. I have a glass cabinet in my living room with the bottom shelf filled with my ancestors' trinkets and personal items. My mother had an elf figurine that she was given by her father when she was very young. If you're into changing things out instead of just dusting on occasion, I actually use my mantle to present the seasonal changes. I used a section of the kitchen counter before that and the center of my dining table before that. I personally don't use nature type things because to me, my house space is separate from that. Katie says, if you don't have a fireplace or wood stove, I recommend the kitchen. It's the heart of the home. Teresa says, I would generally lean towards kitchen as well. But yeah, super excited to see what you come up with and what you end up doing. So thank you so much for sharing, Stephanie. Next, we have a suggestion from one of our listeners, Yasha. Yasha says, I want to hear more moon-related topics or things associated about it. Thank you, Yasha. Okay, let's talk about the moon. As you may know, I'm not a moon girly per se. Doesn't mean I know nothing about it. It's just not my go-to form of witchy expression. But let's talk about moon magic. And this is coming to us from allure.com, harnessing the magical power of each moon phase. So now we have new moon, right? This is a fresh start. When the moon is in this phase, you can barely see it and the sky can appear black. Sometimes magic can be quite literal, and with the moon out of sight, it can be an ideal time to do some shadow work, which I'm not a fan of doing alone. I'm a fan of doing shadow work with a professional, as that was always what it was intended to be before witchcraft, and well, not witchcraft, New Age, their hands on it. But it can be a great time to do some introspection, they say, or parts of yourself that you keep hidden, right? So hidden isn't always bad. I feel like people are so quick to be like, your shadow work and your dark side and the gross parts of yourself. We also keep good parts of ourselves hidden, right? Like, what about guilty pleasures, right? What's that one movie everyone hates, but you love it? Or that one CD where people are like, they're sellouts, but like, you don't care. You like Nickelback. Like, you know, like, we are so quick to go into like shadow work, which I'm so over. And I would like to never talk about it again. I think it's irresponsible that like New Age people have gotten their hands in that. But that's not the only parts of our lives we keep hidden. You know, you can, I'm going to say new moon, I'm going to turn this ship around. I'm going to say no. We are not using new moon energy to question why we hate ourselves. I'm not into that, okay? We're going to use new moon energy to go, what do I like to do in the dark that I don't want anyone else to know about? And you're going to watch that movie that everyone else hates, but you love it. And maybe you do like liver and onions, but no one will eat it with you. You know what? Now's the time. Like, give in. Like, maybe you really love to read trashy books and you're like, I'm going to do it on the new moon. So I am, you know what? I'm sick of this whole like self-loathing shadow work stuff. And I'm saying no. New moon is time for guilty pleasures and lovely things. And I'm rejecting the idea that we constantly have to look at our bad side. I hate it. I actually do a whole class about like misinformation, and shadow work is one of the topics. But I'm a little bit more eloquent in the class. This wasn't very eloquent, so just like know that going in. Let's see. Waxing moon. So waxing moon phase is where the moon is visually getting bigger and brighter and shifting from new moon to full moon. During the waxing moon, the moon is growing, becoming brighter, and creating an ideal phase for sympathetic magic around growth. So what in your life do you want to grow with the moon? And you can even think in terms of timeline. Is there anything in your life that you want to develop or you want to grow that roughly takes about the same time it takes for the new moon to get to the full moon? And it can be really a great time to do magic kind of within that sphere. Okay, so if you're looking for a new job, or you're looking to grow your gig work money, or you want to finally write that book, and you're like, I only write 500 words a day, I really want to get to 1,000 words a day, things like that where we're seeing actual growth. And I really like to use timing, which I feel like a lot of people don't. And when I say timing, I don't mean like during this moon phase or this day of the week. I mean, how long do you think it's going to take for that spell to manifest? And how can you use that, the idea of time, to your advantage? And I think this is a really cool way to go about it. So is there anything in your life that you want to grow or make bigger or larger or brighter that takes about the same time as things going from new moon to full moon? And what can we do there? I think that's really fun. Now let's talk about everyone's favorite go-to. The full moon. The full moon is no joke. Some of the wildest nights of my life went down on full moons. Yeah, ask any nurse. They can tell you that is faux real. Emotions run high on full moons, and everything is extra intense. You can use intensity and apply it to basically any spell you like with the knowledge you'll have a bright ball of shining power to aid you. I'm actually kind of against this idea. So I feel like I'm just using this article to be like, I don't agree. And you know what? Hey, we're getting an episode out of it. But yes, I actually disagree with this. I don't think every spell needs a jolt of power. I don't. And I think a lot of spells actually are hurt by using the full moon. Is not a catch-all. It's not Miracle-Gro, for your spell work. I think using full moon energy is a really good idea if you feel like your spell isn't manifesting, if you feel like it really needs help, if you feel like it's dead in the water and you want to Frankenstein zap it, I think a full moon is a great idea. However, I think most spells, I think, are delicate and nuanced. And I think full moon energy is too much and is overwhelming. And I'm not a fan of using it as a catch-all. I just feel like that's so antithesis of witchcraft. Witchcraft, there shouldn't be catch-alls in witchcraft. To me, that just feels lazy, but not lazy as in, like, you're not doing enough, but lazy as in theory laziness. Like, we know it's more than that. We know it's more powerful than that. And I don't like catch-alls, and people like to use the full moon as a catch-all. So use the full moon if you need to zap something back alive, right? Frankenstein. If you have a spell that's dwindling, or you did a spell for a new job but it's been 3 months and you still don't have it, full moon time. Zap it alive. But I think for most spells that witches do, most of our spells are delicate and nuanced and specific and particular. And I don't think jazzing it with the full moon is great for a lot of spells. And I'm going to preface, I'm not a moon person, so these are just my thoughts and my opinions. You do not have to agree with me. I'm not saying I'm correct. I'm just saying these are my thoughts. Now we have waning moon. The waning moon is the time period in which the moon is getting darker again and moving from full to new. So kind of thinking the opposite, right? We're going from full to new. So things are getting darker, smaller. What in your life needs to go away, right? Debts, pain, anger, maybe a mean boss who only has like a few months left, and you're like, please just go away, like that. You know what I mean? But we're diminishing. We're making smaller. We're making darker. You know, and that is the kind of spell work you want to do during phase. Things that you want to remove, make smaller, change, dim, darken, things like that. I'm trying to think of what I think a really great spell would be for that time frame. Honestly, this is a time where I think it could be really a great time of rest, you know? The coziness of falling into the darkness, I think, is really wonderful and beautiful. It could be a great time for learning, for reading, for exploring. In Lenormand, which is the divination system I use, there's this idea of the Book of Shadows. So in Lenormand, we have the book, and the book is all about learning and reading and exploring. And then we have the moon, which is all about dreams, desires, dimness, darkness. And when you combine the book and the moon, you get the Book of Shadows. It's the book that it is what you are learning in the darkness, right? And that's what Book of Shadows, from the Gerald Gardner Wiccan idea, I believe, was why it was called that. It's what you learn in the shadows, you know? And I kind of like the idea of the waning moon being this time of, what do you want to learn? What witchy stuff do you want to learn in the darkness, in the shadows? Anyways, witches, this was fun for me. As not a hardcore moon girly, that was a good time. So I really hope you appreciate it too. And I hope I didn't just blasphemy all over the moon, but that's all I've got for you. So we're going to wrap up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Pietra Simmons. Pietra, you graceful, bedazzled leprechaun. Stephanie Young, you fancy, noble vampire slayer. Audrey Grabowski, you loyal, cunning, tropical fish. And Don Howard, you hospitable, opulent tiger cub. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we have the Two of Spades waiting. one can gain knowledge in a period of waiting and reflection. Catherine Morland of Northanger Abbey loves to pass the time by reading. Honestly, this tells me the tarot is completely backing up what I said about the moon. All right, witches, I'm done. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we reference today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.